Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your co-host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Mr. Stone, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You look pretty well rested, considering you had a very busy Sunday, didn't you?
That's right. I had a late night. I was at the Startup Riot pre-event, the Make Atlanta, where a bunch of developers and web designers, mostly from Georgia Tech but around the area, came together and competed for a coveted spot in the Startup Riot event this Wednesday. So I was one of the judges.
I was going to ask you if you thought you might have had a good shot at winning.
No. I would not have won. that is definitely not going to happen. But so it was great.
You missed my keynote yesterday.
Yes, I did. I missed that, but you missed me judging. I was hoping it would be like The Voice, where they had a spin around. But
right.
It wasn't like that.
Lee laughs at me for calling it a keynote. Actually, every other month at our church, I get to stand up in the pulpit and say something about giving money. But I thought I did particularly well yesterday. I talked about the new movie. Of course, we saw The Help, Holly and I did, over the weekend. But we also watched that movie, In Time. Have you caught this thing where the currency, the coin of the realm, is actually, I mean, people are literally living day to day because the currency is actually lifetime minutes.
Right. And then you could see how much time you have left.
That's right. And so I asked the crowd, the congregation, I said, I wonder how much more or how much less would be in these plates if I held it up a dollar bill, if these were minutes. So nobody answered, but I thought it went particularly well, just in case you're wondering. But probably not as well as today's segment. This is going to be a fun segment. Everybody on the show today, they have all three of them, Lee, have been nominated as Atlanta's Best Connector. So that's going to be a fun conversation.
Yes, we've had this connector series for several weeks now, and this is the first time that we've had all connectors in the room.
That's right. So first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning is Miss Penny Morris. She is the president of Concierge Services of Atlanta, Inc. Welcome to the show, Penny.
Thank you.
We are delighted to have you. Before we get started and dive into a conversation with everyone around this business of connecting, how about giving us a bit of a thumbnail sketch of your business and what you're out there doing for folks?
Our company provides concierge services in high-rise office buildings and condominiums or groups of office buildings. And we do all kinds of services from restaurant reservations, hotels, tickets, flowers, special events, parties, that kind of thing. Anything that a resident or a tenant in an office building would want. And then I'm also a partner in a travel and lifestyle management and concierge business called Watson Penland, which we specialize in wealth management companies and hope to get into the entertainment industry here.
All right. And also joining us on the panel today is Mr. Dino. Watch me with this last name, Lee.
I'll do the Thompson part. You do the other part.
Is Dino Thompson Cerimiento.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Dino, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Well, my company is Blue Flame Resources, which is a PR firm focusing on minority groups, mostly the Hispanic community. I focus a lot on radio and television positioning, and I'm also a contributing writer for Phoenix Magazine, interviewing celebrities about self-help and moving forward in the community. And I also have a blog called Dino's Dish, where I review restaurants and interview chefs and so forth.
Oh, well, we got to have Dino back for the other show. At 1 o'clock today, we're interviewing some chefs. And so every now and again, we'll have an inside series talking about restaurants and food and that kind of thing. So we'll have to have you come back sometime. Yeah.
Great.
And rounding out the panel for us today is Miss Dara. And naturally, let's see, Dara Brustein?
Correct.
How about that? Dara Brustein with Equitable Payments. Welcome to the show, Dara.
Thank you.
So right out of the box, I'd like to throw out a question just before we even get started. Would each of you, just going around the table, share, if you would, one of the major blunders, one of the major mistakes you see other people making when it comes to this business of networking and connecting? And if we could, I'd like to start with you, Penny. What do people do wrong out there when it comes to networking and connecting?
I would say that they don't take advantage of the connections that they have or the people that they know and what those people can bring to the table to benefit them.
I think that's absolutely true. How many people here have friends or that, or friends or even family that aren't exactly clear on what they do for a living? Dino, you got anybody in your circle that
Yes, definitely. They
ask you, what do you do? I'm not. They still don't understand, and you've been doing it for a long time.
Absolutely. But Penny's right on board. I think that a lot of times we don't take the time to really seek out the things that are right around us. But another important factor is when networking, do it with a passion and with sincerity. It really will work out a lot better to really let somebody tell you what they do, what their passions are, and you can really start connecting that way. And they may connect you with someone else just by you guys really sharing sincerely with each other.
So is that a good exercise, though, that you should practice at the family reunion or a cocktail party? And if you can get if you can get Grandma or Aunt Susie to understand what you do, then you've kind of got your elevator thing nailed. Is that, Dara, is that a good exercise, you think?
Perhaps. I mean, when I focus on networking, I really focus on giving first. I think that the biggest mistake people make is having the expectation that by approaching you, you should give to them first. I think it isn't always reciprocal. It isn't always one-to-one, but it's about giving first and knowing it'll come back to you somewhere. But that should never be the expectation. It should always be about the giving.
Now, Dino, when you're networking with Spanish-speaking people, is it different culturally, the networking?
Absolutely. It's very different. Fortunately, I grew up in a Hispanic family, and I lived in South America, so I understand the culture. I mean, I know a lot of people that learn Spanish and they think, oh, well, I got it. There is a whole different way of thinking and engaging in the Latino community. It's about getting to know the person and their families and their hobbies, and it's very different. And when you go to a business meeting, the first part of the meeting, you'll probably be talking about personal items or end up talking about those rather than the American style, which is business and business, and that's it. So once you make that connection with a Latino person on a personal level, is when the business is then offered and then secured. So it is a little different. You have to understand what the culture is all about, definitely.
So does anybody here, do you ever get that over-the-shoulder look? You're having a conversation, you're talking, someone, they go to the trouble of asking you a little bit about your business. You try to be succinct, you try to be cool or whatever. And then you can just see they're looking over your shoulder for the next guy. What do you do when that is happening to you? How do you handle it? And if you're in a conversation where, look, okay, met the guy nice enough, but I'm here for an hour and a half and I got to meet somebody else. This is not my guy. I feel very awkward in that situation. What advice, if any, do you guys have on that?
I would say readjust what your thought process is there, because I think it's a little bit flawed. I think that it shouldn't be you directly targeting certain people hoping that they can give to you. And what you've just said was evidence of that to me, that you should be more interested in having the deeper conversations like Dino is just describing, because you don't know who they know, you don't know who's in their Rolodex, and it shouldn't really matter. You're trying to genuinely connect with someone, make maybe a couple memorable interactions, rather than span the room, toss business cards left, mm-hmm. right, and center, and be concerned about the instant gratification of the interaction. I think it's about mm-hmm. deepening those couple contacts you get from one interaction.
But how do you work a room? Say there's 20 people in the room. How do you know the person there that's the right person for you?
I think it's part of trusting that you're going to make a genuine interaction with someone. Maybe they know the right person to get you to. Sometimes it's tag teaming, coming in with someone else, so you're both working in the room.
Do you have a wingman?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, yeah, going in as a team and understanding, mm-hmm. oh, well, you need to meet so-and-so. You know, Dino's over there, and he might be a great connection for you. And sometimes I think it's just knowing that if you meet one or two people there, and if it's something you can continue to go back to and contribute to that community, it's not about that instant gratification. It's really about deepening the relationship.
So have a longer term view of what your objective is?
I think it's critical.
And I think something else that's important, when you said somebody looks at you over your shoulder as if they don't understand what you're talking about, you try to get onto their level and explain to them, in not in an elementary way, but in a way that they may understand your business. A lot of people don't understand what my business is, but if you get on their level where you can relate to them in something that you say, then they have a better understanding of what you're about, and then it just kind of grows from there, like you said.
Also doing your homework. Very rarely do I go to an event or networking event or a function where I don't know who's going to be there. That always gives me the heads up who I need to talk to. If I don't know what they look like, I'll find somebody who'll tell me who they are. There's always bios available online. So always go prepared. It definitely makes it a lot easier, and you're not wasting a lot of time.
So you in your head have like a handful of people that you're trying to
absolutely
get
that
in front
night
of.
That I want to connect for one reason or another.
What's the number you have that you shoot for? Is it 10, 5, 2?
You know, I've never really had a particular number. It's basically what I'm trying to get accomplished that night on a personal business level, and however many it is. And sometimes I'll just schedule lunches later on that week or the following day, or invite them over for a cocktail party, something like that, to make it more intimate.
Mm-hmm. Well, to Darren's point, you were saying if you had one or two meaningful, substantive conversations, for you, that's a real win rather than trying to just touch 20 people, right?
Absolutely. I believe in depth more than breadth when I'm networking.
So are there any magic questions or any really cool responses that you have in your back pocket at these things, or is it just better just to be real?
Be real.
Be real. Absolutely. Be yourself. Because if you're not yourself when you meet somebody, first impressions are everything. So they could have a misconception of what you are and what you're about.
Now, do you have any, like, escape hatch line?
What is that?
Like, you know, like you're talking
to
somebody
actually
who's not the right fit for you, and you're, like, going to pull that ripcord.
And they're
you
not a
be
giver. They're a taker.
Right.
Well, you're like,
yeah,
I want out, right?
The eject button,
right,
you know, that shoots you out to the other side of the room.
I think the best way to do that gracefully is to introduce them to someone you know next to them and say, I'll let you two enjoy the conversation.
Oh, that's nice.
Hand off. That's good.
Are you bringing your partner that you're there with to lead you astray?
But you mentioned earlier, Penny, about not really understanding what you do, and you kind of opened the whole conversation that way, Lee. But as an example, I mentioned to you before we went on air, oh, wow, concierge services. Well, in my mind, that was, okay, I'm hiring someone that can pick up my cleaning and will help my wife do some shopping. So, but that's not what your business is at all, right?
Right. We can do that, but that's not the core business model.
And so had you and I met in a networking environment, mm-hmm, and I'd have gone down that path, how do you turn me back around? Is there some key to turning people back around, or are you just very simple and straightforward and say, well, you know, I don't know. How do you do that?
Well, I try to give examples. I would say, do you office in an office building, which you do? You office at,
right,
1 Glen Lake Parkway. And then I would take it from there that we would have a concierge who sits in the lobby, and these are the things that we do for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you live in a condo, we're the people that provide the 24-hour service in the lobby. So you get down on their level, whether they live somewhere or whether they office somewhere. And since you thought we ran errands and picked up dry cleaning, that's one service that we can do. So that brings it back to what you thought it was. It's just a broader perspective of what you were thinking.
So sharing examples instead of just correcting with facts, actually sharing examples. Lee, we got to introduce her to Richard. Tell her about,
right,
Richard downstairs. He's not a concierge, but he is.
Right. Richard is the guy. He's kind of the security guy of the building, but he knows every person by name.
Every person that walks,
like,
into this building, he knows by name.
He's like, hey, Lee, mm-hmm, hey, Stone, hey, Mary. Like, he's going down.
It's
like
unbelievable.
10 people. And, like, that's not his job. I mean, he's just the security guy.
Right.
And, you know, most buildings, they just sit there anonymously, you
right
know, looking at a screen.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy makes it his business to know everybody by name.
A good connector.
Yeah.
Very good.
He really is. Mm-hmm. So how much is too much? I would think that my tolerance level for traditional networking would be a little bit lower than a lot of people's. But I could see, and I've heard Lee say, networking can quickly become, Lee?
Not working.
So how much is too much, right? If you're going to breakfast, lunch, and dinner all day, what do you
when
think?
When do you do your job?
Yeah.
It's a tough question. I think it's going to be different for everyone at the different stage of their business and what they're looking to get out of it, because at least in our city of Atlanta, you could network 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really about when you start off spreading the net wide so you can figure out what's going to be effective for you, then really siphoning in on the communities that are going to have the most value. So personally, I really only commit to a small handful and dive very deep within those, getting as involved as I can in making sure that I'm being valuable within those communities.
That's a theme for Dara. She's the deep dive.
She's all
she's
in.
Death,
she's not,
not
a dabbler.
No, diver.
I think there's something to be said for that,
yeah,
apparently. Yeah.
Now, what about, do you guys have a kind of a give back to the community strategy in your networking? Is a component of your networking and involvement with nonprofits?
Absolutely. I I'm the senior advisor for GLAAD here in the Atlanta area, but I also volunteer with the Latin American Association and Univision, as many things as I can that I feel passionate about.
Right.
I mean, I'm not being hypocritical. I truly feel passionate about these different organizations. And through that, you'd be surprised how much comes out of it. It just the people that are sitting on the board or people that you meet when you're doing a special event,
right,
or what have you. So I definitely find that's very important for me personally to give back. But I also find a lot of work that way,
right,
unbelievably so.
Virtual networking, oxymoron, or is there something to this?
Oh, I am big on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn, if you utilize it correctly, is one of the best uses of your time, especially to take what's happened in person and translate it into ways to train people on how to help you going forward. Without going into too much depth, what I mean by that is, let's say after today when Penny and I have met and I go back, we might go have coffee and we'll connect on LinkedIn. After that, if she and I have created a rapport so much so that we feel like we're ready to really dive deep and help each other, said diving deep again, then I will skim through Penny's contacts and say, Penny, here's two or three people that would be really excellent for me to meet. And if we feel like we can trust one another enough to move forward and make that connection, I think that's an excellent way to help train someone what you're looking for. Because at the end of the day, most people do want to help. So I think if you can take the onus on yourself,
right,
to say this, mm-hmm, is the best way to help me on that path, that person's going to feel like they're willing, interested, ready to help you, and you've really taken all the burden onto yourself to do so.
Now, Penny, would you be comfortable? At what point would you feel comfortable making an introduction via LinkedIn like that with her?
I think after I've met somebody, I would feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Like right now, if she did it in an hour from now, you wouldn't feel comfortable.
No, I would feel comfortable.
So
but
you're
if
comfortable
I,
right now. So relax, you don't even have to get a coffee.
Well,
you're in.
You're in. Save my $3.
Right. If I had never met somebody, I wouldn't
right,
feel
wouldn't.
Comfortable. But I moved to Atlanta without a job from Texas. And so people were so welcoming to me and helping. And that's really where I learned to network. And so I give back by helping anybody that calls me, because there are so many people out there who are trying to figure out what they want to do and meet people and that kind of thing. And in my office buildings, we are involved in a lot of different charities at Thanksgiving and Christmas. So that's, we give back that way.
Now, Dino, do you have a level of intimacy you have to have before you start opening up your Rolodex for somebody?
Actually, if I think that they fit the part, I have absolutely no problem connecting folks. I understand the value of that. And if I see that they're going to be valuable for someone else, absolutely, right away, I don't hesitate.
And social media, other platforms beyond LinkedIn, have these things been great tools? You're a PR guy. Speak to that a little bit, Dino.
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter get my attention. I mean, it's the first thing I do when I open my eyes in the bed is like pull the phone out and immediately go to those things. That's my coffee. I don't drink coffee, but that's what I do before I get out of bed. And immediately I make sure I say something about the day. I interact with other folks before I go to bed. Happy birthday to all 3,000 people on my Facebook, you know. But keeping engaged, it's amazing the connections you make that way. Social media is extremely important, and whoever's not using it, I highly urge they do. You not only get to see their personal part of their life, but you see their business as well. Going through Facebook especially.
So in Facebook, you have one account? You don't have a business account and a personal?
I have just a personal. It is linked to my business.
Right.
But my way of connecting is very personal. So mm-hmm. I let them see a little bit of my life. And they see my, oh, wow, he's a blogger too. Oh, he likes
right.
food. And then you start connecting in all these
right.
different ways. And so I let them see my life. And I,
right.
I definitely
But some people compartmentalize.
I don't.
You don't. You're.
Don't. Yeah. Here you go. This is one.
So now, go ahead.
I was going to say, one thing that I think is so interesting with the evolution of social media is I have 72 people that work for me, so we are interviewing all the time. And in my new business, we were interviewing for our client who they ended up hiring the person, so we were sort of like a placement service. But with the evolution of Facebook, I think a lot of employers go to people's Facebooks when they get resumes to see a reference for them or to mm-hmm. see pictures or to see what they're all about, which is really kind of an interesting
Yeah, that could go way. Both ways there, right?
Exactly.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, exactly. So having said that, you need to be cognizant of what you have on your Facebook page
Absolutely.
And what
right.
you say and what your pictures are and that kind of thing.
72 people. I couldn't get 72 people to cross the street without someone getting hurt. You manage 72 people.
Wow. Well, I have people you have that manage for me.
Okay, so it's my turn to do the deep dive and try some of this stuff.
Let's try the deep dive.
And but we'll start with Penny. So tell us a little bit more about your business, Penny.
It's a very fun business, and if you have to work, it's a great place to work. I have to say that. I started out as the first office building concierge in Atlanta when the IBM Tower or One Atlantic Center opened in Midtown. And I worked for a developer, so I have had the job that all my employees have. And I had the job for 7 years, so I know what a great experience it can be. And then I went to work for a company out of D.C., and I was their general manager for 3 years. And then I took all their clients and started my own business 15 years ago. So it's, and my business is about a connecting business and providing services for people. Typically in office buildings, I think the management office clearly is on the scale of hearing complaints, and we are like the PR person for the building because we plan all the events, we plan all the parties, we are one of the largest purchasers of tickets to events in Atlanta through the group sales department. So in that sense, we are an extension of the management office, except for they have contracted us out to provide these services for the tenants.
And now we have a ticket source, Lee.
Is that true? are you sure you wanted to let that slip?
Whoops.
Now, is the services you provide sound very kind of personal. Is there ever an instance where somebody approaches you and say, you know what, I really got to meet the VP of this company? Do you know that person, or can you help me get into that CPA firm? I'm trying to reach somebody over there. Does it ever get into the business side?
I don't know if it. Are you talking about me personally?
Yes,
or
you personally. Is that a concierge? Like, if somebody's using your service in an office building, they might have needs that are business related, not just, you know, can I have tickets to?
Right. I think sometimes we get that, but I don't think.
That's
on
not a
large
core
scale.
Competency?
Yeah, that people come to me more for things like that because they know through my business because I've got so many connections
right.
that maybe
so
I
like
can...
So, like, you can get me a reservation or, like, that's your kind of a core competency, the inn at popular places, whatever they may
right.
be?
Right. We do a weekend happenings every week for all of our clients where they can see what's going on during the week. Weekend, we do a web newsletter with everything that we're selling and any building events that we do.
Right.
Say if you have an ice cream social in this building in the mm-hmm. summer, we would be the people that would plan that. Uh-huh. If you have a jewelry show in the lobby or a book fair or flu shots or blood drives, we're the group that plans that. So you sort of look at it like a hotel concierge, but it has extensions from it. So we do
right.
a lot more than that.
So if I were to fully embrace and adopt Dara's approach of genuinely trying to help you without expecting immediate return, who are some of the kinds of folks that you would like me to try to help you meet?
Well, in my business, which is, might be different from Dara's business, my clients are real estate based here in Atlanta, whether they're property managers primarily, because my fees for my business come out of the property management budget. So uh-huh. Wells, who manages your building, would be my client. So somebody that would be good networking for me are asset managers who manage the asset for the property manager, our owners reps in the real estate community.
See, that was a good question. I'm learning, right?
I was going to echo that sentiment. You did exactly what I think you should do in right. a traditional networking environment. Rather than saying this is what I'm looking for, it's asking directly, what is it that I can do to help you? And in your head, sort of putting the pieces together right. as you're talking about office, saying, well, would a commercial realtor, would a property manager, just mm-hmm. asking the questions so you better understand, and then starting that culture of between the two of you giving.
Right, right. And so I genuinely will try to do that. And in the meantime, have you met my friend Dino? He's in the public relations business. Dino, tell Penny and everyone in the room a little bit about what you guys do.
Well, PR can take many ramifications, but right now the biggest project I'm working on, to give you an example, came through a charity, actually, that I was working through. Her nephew, one of the persons at this charity, the nephew, is a Latino rising star. He is Colombian, but he's the number one artist in Central America, Mexico, what have you. And he started this foundation where he wants to embrace the topic of HIV and AIDS, which is taboo in the Latino community. Nobody has really taken that on board. And they approached me to come to this country to try to get this word out. And actually, my PR firm is creating a 5-city tour for him, where he will be working with foundations already in place, and his foundations are kind of like a United Way, giving money to these different organizations. He'll be debuting his album as well, but also giving money to these different organizations that help promote awareness and education in this topic. So that's one feature. So what am I doing? I'm going to get him TV interviews, radio interviews, actually set up the event for him. So this is a very big project, but that's kind of what I do. Another thing I do more on a regular basis is clients come to me that need to get their information out, and I set up radio interviews across the country in English and Spanish. Recently did the Girl Scouts of America and things of that nature, so that's what I'm doing.
Very cool. That's got to be incredibly rewarding work.
It is. A lot of times you don't realize the wonderful effect you're having in the community, but you sit back one night, you're sitting there, and you're like, wow, look what I just helped accomplish. It was pretty good.
And kudos on the Girl Scout connection. Lee and I were blessed a few weeks ago. It's been probably 6 weeks ago now. We had the CEO of the Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta on the show, Marilyn Mignette. And as a result, she was kind enough that she scored us some Girl Scout cookies maybe 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time before everybody else got
them. We
had them a ton. So we felt like we were pretty big stuff,
yeah,
right?
The cookie drop, what was it, like 2 Fridays ago?
Right, but we had it like three or four Fridas.
Oh, yeah, wow. So we were feeling...
We could have helped you out, Penny.
That's right.
Well, I'll put in a plug for Marilyn and the Girl Scouts. I was part of a CEO group of about 25 or 30 women CEOs last year who mentored at the Girl Scout camp one weekend different girls that are Girl Scouts in the community, and it was very meaningful, and it was a very impressive program, and she's a great lady.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fantastic organization with a well-deserved, marvelous reputation, and we thoroughly enjoyed having her on the show, and I think we're going to try to make some arrangements to have them on periodically, maybe.
That's what I was dealing with, the resilience factor is what I was doing, the Girl Scouts, where mm-hmm. they've actually proven now that African-American girls and Hispanic girls who have participated in the Girl Scouts of America have better lifestyles mm-hmm. afterwards as
oh,
adults.
Wow.
They're socially happier and seek out an education and so forth. So it's really fantastic what's going on.
So you already got your hands on Girl Scout cookies, and you already have a relationship with the Girl Scouts.
I
don't know what I can do for you. But
no cookies, but.
So we do have some pretty well-wired, well-connected folks in the room. Who could we try to get you connected with that maybe you haven't built a relationship with yet?
Right now what I'm looking to, I'm dying to get a hold of Tyler Perry. I want to interview him very badly. I think that he's got a lot of dynamics and parts of his personality that I think he can help with, which is my writing. Like I recently did Fran Drescher and did...
Oh, wow, The Nanny.
Yeah, The Nanny.
Yeah.
And her ex-husband, Peter Jacobson, who is gay, so, you know, and how that all happened. Get that story out there so people can learn from these real-life stories. She was fantastic, I got to tell you. Just amazing person. But that's what I'm looking for. Tyler Perry is of interest to me because he's got a lot of different areas that I could go with him, and I'm looking to definitely interview him.
So, Lee, will you ring up your buddy Tyler?
Yes.
Oh, she can help
me. Oh, look at her. She's the concierge.
I can help you with my other business, which I didn't tell you about too much, but one of my partners in the business, Watson Pendleton, which is travel, lifestyle, and concierge for the entertainment industry and the wealth management industry, she owned a travel agency, Pace Travel, for 25 years, and one of her clients was Tyler Perry. Oh. And she didn't deal directly, obviously, with Tyler Perry, but she's dealt with some people that work for him because they booked all the flights for all the people coming in from L.A. or wherever they were coming in for the shows. So I can... get you hooked
Penny.
Up with
all
her.
Right. Well, here's my card.
I have a good contact for you for that business, too, actually.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Well, and somehow, some way, all this stuff's got to get paid for at some point, Lee. So let's learn more about equitable payments from Ms. Dara. Give us a little bit more of a deep dive, if you would, Dara.
Good transition. I own a company called Equitable Payments. I started with my twin brother several years ago. And coming out of the fashion industry, it didn't seem like a natural transition. But having learned together about the shady reputation that our industry holds, we really learned very quickly that there was, while a very crowded space, a lot of room for someone to be an honest player. And we recognized that there wasn't to date that we could find a business coming in as a broker, more like the insurance model rather than representing one credit card processor. So we have really tried over the last several years to flip the industry on its head as far as from what perspective someone's out to benefit. We're really looking out for the merchants, always providing no contracts, free equipment, 30% average savings, no annual fees, no monthly minimums, things that none of our providers will offer because they're looking for the instant gain. They're looking to trap you in a contract so that when you find out what they're really charging you, you're stuck. And none of that is our MO. We always want to make sure that we're being upfront with you from the beginning as well as through all the execution. Otherwise, they're always free to leave. So we've done that very successfully. We're currently in 36 states, and we're having a lot of fun doing it, saving people money.
She's handled that question before, I think.
I think so. So what does a good business prospect look like for you?
You know, I think a traditional misrepresentation is that people think we only work with retail restaurant, but I work a lot, interestingly, with pawn shops. We're the National Pawn Brokers Association's partner. So there's over 2,000 pawn shops. We're working through all of those. And then we work a lot with manufacturers. We work a lot in the professional services and medical world. And then, yes, of course, we work retail restaurant.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more contact coordinates?
Yeah, all my contact information is on our website. It's equitablepaymentswithans.com.
Very cool. Dino, how can our listeners get in touch with you, man?
Blueflameresources.net.
Perfect. And Miss Penny?
CSOA.com and WatsonPenland.com, P-E-N-L-A-N-D.
Well, thank you all three for joining us this morning. This has been an absolutely delightful, informative, engaging conversation. And I don't know what Lee knew before we got started, but I bet he's a lot smarter about connecting now.
A lot smarter.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor. Our guests this morning, Penny Morris, Dino Thompson-Sarmiento, and Dara Brustein, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.